Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's T Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Good morning, DFW. Sean and RJ here, 105.3 The Fan. It is the 9 o'clock hour. I'm RJ Choppy. He is Bobby Belt, Peyton and Aiden alongside. Bobby Marks coming up at 9:20. Crosstalk with the KNC Masterpiece at 9:40. Big day tomorrow. Lots of guests tomorrow. We got Brett Boone.
We got Brett Boone.
At 9:20.
Yep.
Right now, at 24 hours from now, we'll have Adam Schefter, yeah. Right, at 9 o'clock?
The one, the only Adam Schefter. We're gonna chat with Adam Schefter about some draft stuff and maybe get his thoughts on some other things around the league. We'll have Dame Brugler at 8. And, of course, it's Luka Day.
It's Luka Day. Big day tomorrow.
It is. And we'll have hopefully some range reaction. Hopefully they score some runs.
Maybe they'll score some runs.
That'd be positive.
Today. You know, maybe they. Maybe you'll be at the Maverick game tomorrow.
I don't think I'll be at the game. I think I will be in Victory Plaza before the game. Because I just want to see the anger bubbling outside. I don't want to pay $800 to go sit inside there and just go, oh yeah, this was nice. We used to have this all the time.
It's going to be nice weather today?
I don't know what it's supposed to be like out there.
Hopefully it's not raining.
Nice. It looks good out there right now.
I hope it doesn't rain tomorrow. That way you can really do some damage out there. No, it looks clear. Ooh, wow. Ooh, 79 at 7 o'clock.
Nice.
Oh, baby. Oh, baby. There we go. Rangers tonight in Chicago. They lost 7-0. 6:40 first pitch. You hear that game right here at 105 to the Fan. Maybe they could use these torpedo bats.
I would hope so. That'd maybe be a nice thing.
You know, one thing I looked at, and I was looking around ESPN.
Nobody's using them right now, are they? On Texas?
I have not seen anybody officially.
Jock said he was going to, I think.
I thought I saw Jock.
Yeah, them. But it's like some guys, like Ellie De La Cruz, he would use them. Like for Cincinnati, he would use it in certain at-bats against certain pitchers.
Jock did use it on Friday. So Jock used it on Friday. He did go 0-for-3 with a walk. So, I mean, the torpedo bat did help his batting eye a little bit.
Yeah, so some people have come out and they asked a bunch of players what they thought about it. And Max Muncy of the Dodgers, who's local,
mm-hmm.
Keller,
yeah,
said it felt good, the swing felt good, but after one at-bat in which I struck out in the sixth inning, I felt like the bat was causing me to be a little bit off plane, a little bit in and out of the zone. My swings felt really good, but just a little bit off. So the last at bat, I went back to my regular bat. Another guy, Matt Shaw, I've used it in batting practice, wasn't a big fan. The weight felt heavier. The feedback wasn't good. So the ball feedback wasn't good, but we'll see. Dansby Swanson, it's not the perfect product. There are so many nuances involved. Like, this is going to be one of those things that it's a trial and error situation, but like I think this is, we're going to look back on at the end of the year and we're like, man, did we overreact to these things?
Yeah, it certainly feels that way. There's a lot of players who have talked about, not specifically in just this one article at ESPN. I saw them asking a couple others, and I think it was one of the pitchers had said this when they're talking about like, ooh, do you feel like you're at an unfair advantage? And the other thing is like, I think it's cool for like right now, and they're probably all going to go like, hey, you know what? I don't actually like this. or I feel more comfortable. Like, baseball players are such creatures of habit that I think eventually what we're going to get here is looking back on it and going like, oh, that was a cool fact. Like, I'm trying to think what's similar. I feel like we've had something similar in sports recently, where there was something that was like a fad that it was like, oh, this is going to change. And then it disappeared after a month. And I'm trying to remember what it, maybe it was something to do with like the basketballs or something like that. I can't remember.
Well, remember they had the new basketball that came out. Like that was like maybe a couple, 20 years ago. They had that new weird basketball. I mean, they're constantly having new golf clubs out.
Yeah. I don't think we're going to look back on this as the same as the juiced baseballs from a couple years ago.
Right.
The juiced baseballs was like a thing that you could see the data shot up home runs that year. And so that, I mean, I don't think we're going to look at it like that. I think it's just the Yankees are really good at hitting the ball out of the yard in their tiny little park.
Well, and they also, like, it was the Yankees that did it.
Yeah.
If it was nobody, if the Yankees didn't hit 9 home runs in one game, the second game, that was also like the early part of the year. It was just a regular July game. Nobody thinks anything of it, but they hit 9 home runs in one game.
Right.
That's going to like raise some eyebrows.
Yeah, and that catches the attention, and so it's easy to have it pop and make a big deal out of it. But at the end of the day, I think that's what we're going to see. We're going to see ultimately it's like, oh, guys don't feel like there's really any difference. Like, you know, how the corked bat argument, which is not allowed. But, you know, they talk about how there's a lot of research that says corked bats don't even help necessarily. Like, there's not a lot of definitive evidence that the corked bat actually does anything to really help batters.
You don't think it does?
No, there's basically been a bunch of different studies on it that just say it might, but it's really not definitive. It's more just a matter of some guys find it easier. But
I think what it probably does is it lightens the bat because you're hollowing out the bat and you're throwing cork in there. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, there was this one guy back in the 70s. He hit the ball at the end of the bat and like the bat kind of splintered. And those little rubber bouncy balls, those super balls came flying out of it.
Now, I think that one, because they, and Mythbusters did something on this once too, where they found that I think the bouncy balls was more. It more likely.
They created a trampoline effect or something.
So that's the thing. One of the things I'm reading here right here, and this is according to Illinois University where they'd done a study on it, that despite the popular belief that corking a bat creates a, quote, trampoline effect, which causes a bat and ball to travel further, physics researchers have shown this is not the case. And so that's the, like, it's very inconclusive. So I think it could be similar where it's just one of those things
Nerds.
Where the torpedo bat seems Nerds. Like it's doing it, like is helping you out. But in reality, it's not doing nearly as much as the buzz initially sounded like.
The LA Dodgers had a trip yesterday.
They did. They went to the White House, which is like, are you in favor at this point of just ending the sports teams going to the White House in general? It just seems
it always gets politicized, but I think it's pretty cool. I mean, I would want to, if I won a title, I would want to go to the White House.
But sure, I think the photo op.
When I win the U.S. Open in golf, senior U.S. Open,
yeah,
yeah, because I'm 5 years away. I'm gunning for that senior tour. Five years away, man.
I got 5 years to get you up to speed.
You know, and I win, I'll go to whoever's in office. I'll go.
I would too.
I want to go.
I want
to chip on the South Lawn.
Regardless of who's in office, I would go. But it's also reached this point where, regardless of who's in office, it becomes like a thing.
It becomes a why did you go?
And it's so irritating. But
it's so irritating.
The Dodgers ended up going. Shohei Ohtani was there. Mookie Betts was there. The reigning Los Angeles Dodgers visited the White House on Monday to congratulate them for winning the World Series last season. This is from ESPN. President Donald Trump complimented the very talented people who beat the New York Yankees in 5 games.
They're very talented people.
While also
some of the most talented people you've ever met.
I like this. Trump complimented the very talented people who beat the New York Yankees in 5 games.
Whoever wrote that is speaking like him.
They put it in quotes, the very talented people. It's what he said. Trump complimented, quote, the very talented people who beat the New York Yankees in 5 games, while also refusing to introduce some Democratic senators at the ceremony because, quote, I just don't particularly like them, so I won't introduce them. What are we doing? What is this?
The very talented people.
The event came during a manic Monday. Oh, like, it's just another manic Monday. Ooh. Came during a manic Monday for U.S. stocks after Trump doubled down on his tariffs. That seems like I don't know why ESPN's jumping into that. Is that? is that their commentary line? But no, you did get Mookie Betts showed up to the White House. He said
Mookie Betts.
He did say nobody else in this clubhouse has to go through a decision like this except for me, as he was the lone black player on the Dodgers who returned from last season's World Series team. He said, that's what makes it tough, but it is what it is. Yeah, that's what makes it tough, but it is what it is. I'm not trying to make this political by any means at all. All it is just me being with my team to celebrate something. It's a privilege to get an invitation like this. I just want to be there with them. So they did go.
Did you hear any of the clips?
Of what?
Of Trump talking about the players?
Oh, no. I mean, I read the quotes. I didn't hear him.
This is him talking about... He's Mr. Captain Obvious sometimes with the Ohtani, but here's him talking about Mookie.
Including superstars, Mookie Betts. Oh, is he good?
Good looking.
Good looking.
Mookie, that guy can play, can he? I mean, unbelievable. Mookie is, I've been watching it. I don't want to say I watched him when he was on Boston, but I did. I didn't think that was a particularly good trade when they made it, and I happened to be right.
I got it. You know what? It sounds like when I talk about hockey.
Just very like generic terms.
Ooh, Ovechkin.
Oh,
that
man.
Guy scores a lot of goals, doesn't he? like Wyatt Johnston. He's a man. Y'all love Wyatt Johnston.
Well, you put
he's
like,
so good.
I mean, it's weird. If you're a president, you don't want
to. I don't expect you to have like in depth details. If you're the president, I would hope you'd have more going on than to
like,
know
yeah.
the ins and outs.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want them to be like, if the Rangers won the World Series, I wouldn't want them to be like, look, Leody Taveras, like, there were some questions
yeah,
along the way. Like, we know it.
Why'd you keep him batting eighth?
Jonah Heim, like, the frame.
Why did he drop down in the order?
What happened to the framing rate with Jonah Heim in 2024?
Yeah.
But he bounced back in
2024.
If they started referencing framing
if
rate.
If they started doing that, you'd be like, dude, what are you doing all day? Like, are you just like, do you scroll?
That would be great as a bit. If you would have one of those White House aides.
Just give them
give
the.
Give him prep for, like, hey, just talk about, like, you know, talk about his war.
Do you
think
presidents sit on their phone in bed and scroll Instagram like the rest of us do?
No. I bet they are so damn exhausted most of the time that they just collapse, fall asleep, and they're just running on caffeine the next morning. That's what I think happens.
That sounds about right.
I'm getting to the point, dude. I literally, the last couple nights, I'll be sitting in my bed scrolling, and I've woken myself up by the phone dropping on
my face. That, all the time.
Dude, it's happening a lot lately. I got to start napping during the day.
Just go to bed earlier.
Because,
or just don't scroll at night.
Because I can't go to bed earlier. Like that.
Can you do a cat nap?
No. If I lay down, I'm sleeping for two.
Because there'll be
hours.
Times where I'm just like getting work done in the middle of the day, and I start like I type something on my email prep, and I'm like that's not English. I don't know what that was. And I'll just sit there on my couch or in the in my office, and I'll just. Tilt my head back for about 5 or 10 minutes. I'll wake up. It literally takes me a five minute nap is all I need.
Can't do it. I take the Peyton Russell 3 hour naps. Peyton will take like 4 hour
what a
ones.
Powerful man. He'll
yeah,
change you.
He gets deep in there. We got some other news.
All right,
Tigers assistant GM Sam Menzin has had to resign amid an investigation. Ooh. He went the Minot, North Dakota route chop. Lewd photos that he was allegedly sending to female staffers. He resigned on Thursday shortly before the team planned to fire him for improper workplace conduct. Team officials did not specify Menzin's conduct, but the Athletic spoke to two former Tigers employees who said Menzin sent them unsolicited lewd photos. When are people going to learn?
Yeah.
Like, why does this happen in this day and age where it's like, you know, like you're not going to be able to get it. Like, that's just bold.
That's just bold.
That's a complete disconnect from reality and how that's going to get you're
running a power play here and you think you're untouchable or something.
I mean, it's like
or you're just stupid.
It's like somebody walking in here just being like, "Yeah, I'll just say the F bomb." Like they're not going to be that mad. I'll just say it a couple times here and there.
It's only a fine.
Exactly. Who
it's, you know, not going to be a
big
deal.
He thought he was going to get the Ja Morant treatment.
Yeah.
From Adam Silver.
We are monitoring this story here. There was a nightclub that had a roof collapse in the Dominican Republic, and they believe the former major leaguer Octavio Dotel was inside, and a girl by the name of Nelsy Cruz, who, from what I'm reading, is the sister of Nelson Cruz.
Oh, geez.
So that's what a couple of outlets have said, that they are related. Others have just called her by name and did not say they were related, but we're keeping an eye on that.
Nelson was Nelly was first pitch on, I think it was opening day for the Twins this year.
Oh yeah?
Yep. They'd brought him back and he threw out the first pitch for them. That's awful.
Yeah, that really is. So we're keeping an eye on this. There's like 18 people that are unaccounted for right now in this roof collapse at a nightclub. So very, very sad. Very sad. Bobby Marks, ESPN NBA insider, joins the show. Coming up next, it's Luka Week on 105.3 The Fan. Crosstalk with the KNC Mashpees coming up at 9:40. We got Ranger baseball tonight right here on 105.3 The Fan. 6:40 first pitch. Pregame gets you going at 6 o'clock, but tomorrow is Luka night, and it is Luka week around here. The Lakers are in town, and we saw this article yesterday, and I saw this article, and then Bobby called me like 10 minutes later. Bobby Belt, not Bobby Marks.
Yeah.
And you brought the article to my attention again. I was like, I'm reading it right now. And you said, why don't we get the guy who wrote it on the radio?
Let's get Bobby Marks on the air here from ESPN. And so that's what we did. We got it all set up. And Bobby Marks from ESPN joins us now to talk a little bit of Mavs, Lakers, Luka, and some little bit about this article. Bobby, thanks so much for joining us here.
Hey, guys. How are we doing?
Fantastic. So, Bobby, I'm curious, you know, you wrote about this trade that occurred and you know, we're about to reach this buildup where the culmination of it, where he returns to Dallas here.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
When that trade first occurred, I'm just curious, what was your initial reaction and how do you think the way things have played out over the last 2 months, if you think there's any sort of regret or any sort of thing that Dallas would have done differently in that process?
Yeah, I mean, I remember going on SportsCenter the next morning, Sunday morning, and said, like, hey, if he was ever made available, you know, to the other, you know, 28, 29 teams, it would probably be a list of things teams would be willing to offer here. I think, you know, certainly you look at what Dallas got back with Anthony and Max and a pick in 2029, and I think, you know, Mark Cuban hit it kind of on the head. It's like, you know, hey, if you're going to move the guy, like at least ask, get more for him. And it's kind of like why we wrote the article. Like, it's just kind of like, it's a hypothetical article and it does answer some questions because although you say like, hey, everybody would basically give everything for him. Really not the case there. The market is, you know, whether it be rebuilding teams or knowing that Luka could leave in a year and a half, it kind of, you know, it shrinks it a little bit here. But, hey, I get it. Like, I understand the direction of moving off him, especially the ability to go into a contract year. And if you're not willing to commit, you know, whatever, $345 million to him. But I do think what the Lakers had, whether it been, you know, Austin Reeves or Dalton Kinnick or a 2031 first or a 2030 swap. Like, if you're going to do it, you try to get as much as you can. And if it's not what you want, there's no reason to, you know, that you can't go into the summer and then try to figure this out again, get through, you know, the play-in or the playoffs here and then kind of reevaluate. I know you lose about a half a season because then he's going into last year's contract. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think there's a lot of, and you guys, there's a lot of layers, right? Is it trading him? And then there's the layers of basically kind of what you got back in return.
Bobby, and you know, that's an important part of it for us. Bobby Marks joining us here from ESPN on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Lakers and Mavericks on ESPN tomorrow night at 6:30 with the return of Luka Doncic. That was the issue for us, is that this city's been angry for 2 months now straight. And the issue for a lot of people is, all right, I didn't want to trade Luka, but even if you got to the point where you said, we've got to move on from Luka, it's the return you got. Brian Windhorst was really worked up on ESPN yesterday saying,
I texted with Brian earlier and I said to him, cause he used the word that teams hate, the word malpractice is like taboo.
Is it really?
Oh, I know it. I said to him, shoot, the last time I used that, I had an owner that wanted to fight me. So listen, I'm surprised Nico didn't call him. And maybe he did. I don't know. But yeah, it's like, and I get it. Like, and I've been there, and, you know, some people haven't in the front office. And it's like, it's basically, do you have the flexibility? As I said, do you have the flexibility to push this into the off season? And maybe what we see always is, you guys know this, there's always desperate teams who lose in the playoffs, right? Like, there's going to be two or three teams this year, maybe Houston, maybe OKC, maybe some of these other teams that would maybe give you more than what probably the Lakers would be willing to give you in February. But then you kind of turn it around and be like, well, then on the other end, you know, and Nico came at it. She's like, AD, like, that was the guy that he's zeroed in on, right? Like, that was the guy that he zeroed in on. But as we said before, like, then it's okay. What else could you get besides just that one pick in 29 and certainly Max added to it?
Bobby, you know, as somebody who's been in the front office, is there really such a thing as an untouchable player?
That's a good question. There's probably three guys. Now, like, listen, I thought before Luka, I thought maybe there was five or six, you know, I mean, certainly I thought he was one of them. I really did. Now I think it's certainly, Shea, Jokic, Curry, just based on everything he's done. Certainly, you know, LeBron, I guess, certainly with a no trade clause, but Giannis, I think too. I think there's two ways to look at it. There's the untouchable, but they're in on, if you get to a point you're going to move that player, there's a conversation where can we move you to based on what you've done for our organization. And then there's a group that I thought then, you know, with Luka, as far as that, you know, that's not untouchable, and, you know, preference as far as where the next destination really doesn't matter for that player.
Bobby Marks, Mark Jonas here, 105 through the Fan. I said basically the week after the trade, and Mark Cuban talked about it with Stephen A. This week on his podcast, about the differences and the lack of understanding of a European basketball player and just their lifestyle that they have off the floor versus, say, an American-born player, and that just didn't jive with Nico and Dumont and the way they want to run things. Can you tell when you're in the front office, like, there's a distinct difference in, say, how a European player would approach the game, the off season, just the they have hobbies that may not be like Kobe Bryant or something?
Yeah, I mean that's an interesting question. I haven't really thought about it. I would say this, and I remember being in Brooklyn and working for Billy King, who was in Philadelphia with Allen Iverson. And I asked him one day, and you know, this was prime Allen, right? This was MVP, but listen, Allen was, you know, I mean, there was a lot going on, and I'm not saying Luka's in that, you know, off the court element there. But I said, like, do you ever get to the point where you got tired of dealing with it? And he was like, I knew he would come and give me 40 every night, and we'd have a chance to win, and I can deal with everything else that comes with it. And I think when you have generational stars in this league, and there's probably five or six, I think you have to have that mindset there as far as, whether it be off-court habits or whether it be conditioning or whether it be other injuries and stuff. I think when you have a generational player, I think you deal with everything else that comes with it.
Bobby, I'm curious, and we're talking with Bobby Marks here from ESPN about the return of Luka Doncic here in Dallas tomorrow night against the Lakers, 6:30 on ESPN. Bobby, I'm curious, when they made this move, it seemed like Nico Harrison and Patrick Dumont, the new governor, they all kind of seemed surprised by the reaction. Rick Welts has talked about that they were a little caught off guard by it. Was that a reasonable expectation? I mean, there should have been an expectation here, right, that if you were going to trade away a generational superstar, especially for that kind of return, that was going to be received poorly and there might be fallout here.
I don't know what they were expecting. I mean, considering you had just gone to the NBA Finals, he's a generational player. He's 25 years old. The expectation was, at least from the outside, was that he admitted it, that he was going to commit the next 5 years in a new contract. Have I ever seen a reaction like that? No, I haven't. And I said this on TV a few weeks ago with Malik Andrews. I don't know if the fan base in Dallas will ever forgive. And even if this team got to an NBA Finals, I still think there's a majority of people that will never forgive what happened back in February. And they set the bar pretty high a year ago. And, you know, they probably won't get out of the play-in. We can chalk this year up into injuries. But, man, there's some significant collateral damage if this doesn't work out for them.
When, as an organization, do you make a decision to tank if you're, like, in a play-in?
Yeah, you know, I know people are mentioning what happened 2 years ago. And I think that was a little bit different because the pick was going to New York. Here, you're basically kind of locked in. I mean, I said this, I think when I was on with Mike Greenberg on Get Up, I said, listen, like basically you got like nine guys, basically what you have on the court basically will dictate the results. And you're basically kind of locked into that 12, 13, 14 range as far as where the draft is. And I think Anthony came out and said a big reason why he came back is basically you look on the court with about eight guys every night. So they'll get into the play-in likely. It's funny, even if they don't win another game the rest of the season, they'll still probably get in because of what's Phoenix happening. I don't think they'll get out of it, especially even if you got to that eight, you know, to play the loser of that 7-8 matchup here. But they'll have a lottery pick. They'll go into the offseason. I've already written our offseason article for when it comes out, probably next week sometime. And you've got to, you know, listen, you've got to figure out what you want to do with Kyrie and his health, and that dictates a lot of things. And, you know, what some of your other contracts, whether it be PJ on an extension, and maybe there's a big fish out there that you can go out and try to get. So there is a lot of work to still do in Dallas.
Bobby, last question for you here. And this is obviously a little bit of a broader one, but just from your experience within the league, there was a concern immediately after Luka was traded. And I don't know if it's so much a concern now as people angrily wishing it, but there was the thought that this is a play from this new ownership to, they eventually want to get to Las Vegas. They want to move the team out of Dallas. That's their end goal. And that's something that's been kicked around a little bit. Do you think, A, that the NBA will eventually land in Las Vegas with a team? And B, do you think there is a path potentially ever in the future where it would be Dallas moving out of here? Would the league not let that happen?
I don't think they would ever. I think the Dallas market, it's a terrific market. And I think there's a terrific fan base. And it's not like Seattle, you know, way back when they moved to Oklahoma City. I do think eventually, and I think the sale of the Celtics probably helps this accelerate. I do think eventually there'll be an expansion team in Las Vegas. Hopefully there'll be an expansion team in Seattle, but there'll be two new expansion teams with a lot of money committing, and that money goes to the other 30 NBA teams as well as the league here. And I would be stunned if it was ever that it was the Mavericks. That was one of those teams.
Hey, Bobby, great stuff. Thanks for joining us. Love the article. Can't wait for the offseason plan.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Bobby Marks, ESPN, joining us here, 105 through the Fan on the D&M Leasing Hotline. It is Crosstalk with the KNC Masterpiece coming up next. It is Crosstalk, the KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. Hey, you guys got another full show today until tomorrow rolls around.
Exactly, and then not a full show.
What are we even doing?
Hey, so we're going to try to get as much content in today as possible about people peeing in Gatorade buckets, dire wolves. We got it all.
Dude, the dire wolf thing. You know, okay. We'll talk about that in a second.
Can I tell you something real quick? Until you sent me that story, I did not have any idea the dire wolves were ever real. I just thought they were only from Game of Thrones.
Okay, can I also, well, I knew they were real at one point.
I thought they were from Edward.
I had that, but okay. I didn't know about this story until I saw Choppy freaking out over it on Twitter, and then I was like, what the hell is this about? And I had to go look it up, and so we'll get into it. And we'll ask the question, what will we bring back next?
You're a tastemaker. Look at you. You're getting Corey's eyes on all sorts of news.
What do we have coming up on the show?
We do have Bruce Bochy joining us at 12:30 today. And at 11 o'clock, also in the Direwolf segment, we will talk about what Kevin really wants to discuss with Bruce Bochy today.
That's right.
As we learned yesterday that Kevin was at a game which Andre Dawson was hit in the head. This is a man, Bobby, who wore number 8.
Mm-hmm.
And he was hit in the head. And Bruce Bochy was also attacked in that game as well. So we'll get more information from Bruce Bochy on his recollection of the time that Kevin watched people fight on fields.
Is that tied to the setup you wanted Peyton to have when he's hosting for a solo half hour? Is that going to be how you're going to
tie it in? That is an off-air discussion.
Oh, okay. All right.
I don't know.
Your top five since 2000?
Oh, no. No. Number one might surprise you. Yeah, no. Don't talk about that one.
The whole Direwolf thing, though, I can't even with this.
I love it. Let's do
Why?
More. Because
what do you think is going to happen?
Bring back my grandma?
What? What?
If we can do this, why can't we bring grandma back?
Well, I guess you could bring grandma back.
Thank you.
But, you know, they're using the DNA of a tooth of a direwolf. And, you know, they could say all they want. It's going to be a gray wolf. It's still going to be 25% larger. Mm-hmm. It's still going to be an apex predator. It's still going to be the most feared predator on North America outside of humans.
Not just dying
or you
blonde,
when you
Bobby.
Were single.
Right. I wasn't a predator. I don't like to be called
I don't
that.
Know. You did just say, right.
I don't
right.
like to be referred to as a predator, okay? Hey, that's got a legal connotation to it. I don't really care for that. But, I mean, do
he
you want
an
to
activist.
Just... Does anybody want to lose their dog? I mean, that's what's going to happen. We're going to lose their dog. All of our dogs are dead.
Yeah.
Of our dogs are dead. Cattle, gone.
Gone.
Elk, gone.
No
deer,
more elk meat.
Gone.
The dire wolves are going to kill all of these animals?
Wolves in general.
Okay.
They're hunters, eating
bro.
The dogs.
That's right.
So, Corey, you mentioned that bring grandma back. But it wouldn't be grandma, right? Like, so it would be somebody who just looks like her. You can't like bring her soul back. Like that's staying
so that's
in heaven.
The next step.
But that's staying in
the
heaven.
Next
How
step
do you retrieve
to,
it
the
from
next
heaven?
Step is to collect memories before people die.
Oh,
and
like
then
upload.
Install and then upload those memories into
and it's like
them.
It's like a Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom or whatever it is. The girl, the little girl, spoiler alert, sorry.
Oh my gosh.
The little girl. Yeah. Cloned her.
Are the Jurassic movies still good?
You know, I like the first two.
Wow.
The first two of the
that
of
last
the,
Jurassic World movie is one of the worst movies I've ever seen. The third one.
I haven't seen the third one yet.
It's
the
like,
first two of the Chris Pratt. Pratt
yeah,
Platt.
This one's
those are pretty good.
Two and a half
two.
Hours long. I would have told you it was at least 4 hours and 47 minutes
you know what?
Long.
It was like the Master and Commander.
Oh my god!
Well, I think I'm gonna watch that on my flight to Europe.
You could probably keep watching the same time on the way back from Europe, and you'll be like, "This is still the first time I'm watching this movie because it's so effing long."
Someone's gonna have to show me how to download movies.
You don't know how to download a movie?
Hit download.
No idea.
He knows how to download some movies.
Download those.
So that's a good point.
Watch them live.
I don't know. I'll tell you what. The
live?
Or whatever.
The first Jurassic Park does not hold up for me.
The first one?
Yeah. I think at the time, like, it's so innovative and it was such a cool idea and things like that. When you reflect back on it and, like, you watch today, and it's probably the fault of everything that's come after it, I think you look at it and it's just like, it's okay. Like, I don't think it's like an exceptional story or anything. It's just it was cool at the time, and now it's less cool.
You don't think
cool.
they brought dinosaurs back from the dead and had to deal with internal corporate espionage along the way while saving the planet is an interesting story?
No.
It's going to happen now that we've brought back direwolves.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, now we've got real life Jurassic Park.
I thought Laura Dern was 40 in that, but she was like 22.
I did too.
I know, right?
I did too, man. She looked so old at such a young age.
She looked 40 in mass.
She was the
Greg everybody.
Oden of women actors.
Everybody bet that. Look at the cast of Cheers. They were like 22. Norm was like 30.
Ted Danson looked 80. Yeah.
So the person I always go back to, and I know we've talked about this before, is Arn Anderson. Arn Anderson looks, he's a wrestler. He looks like he was 45 when he was like 23. And so that's just led to my belief, what you said about Cheers, is that people just used to look way older.
The cast of the Golden Girls was like mid-30s.
Dude, and wasn't Sophia the youngest
not
one?
Not quite mid-30s, but you get the point. Yeah, she was. The old lady was like the oldest one.
So weird. And she was also in the movie Mannequin.
How does Arn Anderson look younger now than when he did as a wrestler?
I don't know. It is he,
peptides.
But like,
peptides.
But he never,
hey,
but see,
weird.
But he never looked young. He never
no, yeah.
looked young.
No, this is like he stalled out in a Benjamin Button phase. But it's
he's never
it's
seen
weird.
That movie.
Hey, is it good?
You want to talk about long? It's okay, but it is not worth 3 hours and 10 minutes or whatever.
Yeah,
it is.
Watch it like
it's
I do.
Long.
Watch it like I would watch a movie, Kevin.
I've never seen it. Either.
It's long. It's
you
also
watch the first 30 minutes. Stop. Do something else with your life for a couple days. Come back to it. Watch the next 30 minutes. Stop. do something else with your life, and then come back and finish
it
off.
Is that the Matt Damon movie where automatically just becomes an old man?
No, Matt, that's the end of Saving Private Ryan.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. That's him reflecting on the beach, the Omaha beach. And
no,
then he,
really?
Yeah,
I don't remember that scene. I must have turned that movie off.
No, it's Brad Pitt. What? It ages backwards.
Dude, no, the Matt Damon.
Oh, I love Saving Private Ryan. I just feel like I...
Hold on. Saving Private Ryan starts off. Yeah. He's at the memorial in Normandy.
Oh, yeah.
And he's reflecting back. Yeah. So it's a story being told in his mind. And so then it, at the end of the movie,
goes back forward.
It is a little weird. I'm going to spoil it for you. Sorry, Hagee. It is a little weird, like, when Cate Blanchett's, like, holding her husband, her 90-year-old husband, who's reversing into being a baby, being born. She's like, oh, this is his moment of death because he's, like, being unborn now because he ages in reverse. It's a
wild.
Weird movie, dude.
It's wild. Oh.
It's, but it's whatever. You want to get into some Ask Reddit real quick? Some of the leftovers.
Yeah, sure.
All right, let's jump into these. This is a great one right off the top for y'all. Anybody can jump in whenever they're brave enough. What's the hardest lesson a woman has ever taught you?
Just because you're engaged don't mean you're going to get married.
Come on, Hayden.
That was a tough lesson. That's a lesson I learned the hard way.
Peyton, you've always got the answers. What's the hardest lesson a woman has ever taught you?
Just because they say I love you doesn't actually mean they do love you.
Boy, there's a bunch of hurt feelings in this building right now. My gosh.
I don't know that I have a good answer for this. I mean, I feel like anytime I talk about Sarah on the radio, it's a hard lesson.
So that's what you're learning.
I'm sure I'm going to hear about the Kelsey Plum conversation today. I'm positive I'm going to hear about that one.
I'll tell you what the hardest lesson, pick your spots. The problem is that I want to be, when I'm right, I want to communicate that. There are sometimes I just have to go, I can't be right because this is not worth the potential fallout from this. So I have to pick my spots where I go, yeah, this is something important enough that I actually have to correct this because this isn't right. Some of them I just have to go, yeah, you're totally right. You were right in that argument, even though you weren't, and you're mad at those people for no reason.
That's the last part you don't need to say.
All right,
you
I didn't leave that part. Just theoretically, I'm saying that.
Yeah. You just say too much.
You just go, okay.
You say too much, yeah.
And then you walk away from it all. You just say, okay. And walk off, and then she knows she's wrong at that moment. She knows she's wrong,
but you didn't tell her.
You didn't tell her she's wrong. You said okay and walked off.
Yeah.
And she's like, crap, he thinks I'm wrong. And then she's going through her mind, and you don't even have to argue about it. You can just leave it alone. I think the, like, good isn't good enough. And that's the reason. This isn't from Adrian or my mom or anything. This was from a teacher, and she was a woman. Does that count?
Yeah.
So
it's just from a woman.
I've told this story before, and I told it at the Super Bowl. Marjorie was there. You met her, Kevin. Yeah. And I laid out a newspaper. I thought it was good. I was like, this is really good. And then she destroyed it and said, I think you can do better. And I was like, oh my gosh. And then I challenged myself, and it was better. And I won awards in newspaper design. And so it was because of her that set that up.
And you felt that way in the moment, too. You certainly did not cuss her in your head.
I felt down. I felt really down because I was like, I left a six-figure job to go pursue this industry. And
someday, Chop, you'll get there, buddy.
Man.
And then so I felt really down. I was like, I'm not good enough. But then I was like, I can either pout about it or I can kick my butt up and go do something about it. And so that's how I learned.
Kick your butt up.
Kick my own butt.
What was easier to do 100 years ago than it is today?
Parent.
Diet.
Oh, parent makes a lot of sense.
You just tell them what to do back then. Now their parents TikTok. I don't parent my kids. TikTok does.
Yeah, now they're like, I'm your spouse.
They don't even know my name.
Yeah. I'll probably stay married too, right?
Or end being married.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Dave Chappelle's got this bit where he talks about, like, back in the day, like 50 years ago, you just moved to the next town and, like, you could avoid seeing them for the rest of your life. Like, you could just go, hey, I'm going out for a pack of smokes.
Yeah.
And they never come back. You're just like, I guess he just disappeared from the face. And he's like 20 minutes away. Yeah. You just, you didn't know.
I feel like it was easier to work on your car back in the day.
That is 100% true because everything's all the computers now.
Yeah. Fix a home appliance.
100 years ago, you thought it was easier to work on your car.
We're just talking about back in the day.
Yeah. I mean, that's 25.
I mean, it was around for 100 years.
Work
on your plane.
Your question was 100 years ago.
Okay, I mean, yeah, you can build a plane.
That's why I said diet, because you probably starved. Like, that was kind of a situation that happened.
I've seen the Grapes of Wrath.
And you also didn't have all the processed foods like Cheetos and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, you could build a plane 100 years ago.
They did.
Get like a lawnmower engine and a wing, and you'd be fine.
They crashed about as frequently as they do today. It's amazing.
Are you glad they weren't the Wrong Brothers?
The Wrong Brothers. That's
that would have been tough.
That's if it's well, never mind.
Okay,
thanks, Dad.
This is really dark. But somebody said kill people, and
that's true.
That is probably true.
I was listening to the show about DB Cooper, and they said they had the guy who hijacked the plane. They said they had a whole bunch of cigarette butts of his, but they just threw them in the trash 50 years ago because they didn't have DNA. And I was like, man, 100 years ago.
They brought him back to life.
What should we do?
Again,
I don't know.
The amount of like forensic files that we watch, and it's like DNA was just coming out, and I was like, man, you get away with so much better than now.
Dude, the OJ trial, like when you hear... That was in the very early stages of like blood evidence and things like that, where that was
DNA. People were kind of like fancy science.
How reliable is that stuff right there? It is John Mulaney again. We talk about stand-up bits. Mulaney has one where he's like, back in the day, you could get away with crimes because you didn't even have DNA. So if you go, look, Captain, it's some of their DNA, and they would go, gross. Let's go over here and follow my hunch. And that's how they solved crimes back then. How you get a lot of really bad, like when you look back over some of the convictions that occurred 100 years ago or 80 years ago, you look at some of that, it's really bad. It's not good. So
anyway, bad evidence.
That's Ask Reddit.
Bad evidence. Very nice. Very nice. Very nice.
2.0.
Bochy on the show. What time again?
I'm going to get back to you on that. We've been informed of new information that could change that.
But you know what? That's why you just...
This is breaking news?
Yeah.
Just stay tuned in then.
Breaking news
then
brought to you. Yeah. No, I'm kidding.
Just tolo go. Turn it on, leave it on, get it on. Everything will be fine.
There we go. KNC Masterpiece is next on The Fan.